You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 28th, 2020. Congress was supposed to reconvene next week. Now the House says, no, I don't think so. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said, yeah, we're going to reverse our plan. We did talking about it. We decided we will not come back next week, but we'll come back very soon to pass the CARES 2 piece of legislation. And then we'll ask members of Congress to return. But for now, no, we're not going to do it. That's because the attending physician claims there could be still a lot of possibility that he might come down with COVID-19. So the House members saying, nope, let's don't go in right now. A new survey out claims that 80% of workers would not feel safe themselves going back to work if their state were to reopen. Whatever business they're in, they say, I would not feel safe going back to work right now. And at the epicenter in New York, almost 15% said they would feel safe going back. Just 15%. The World Health Organization chief is saying, oh, if you just should have listened, you should have listened to us earlier as we began to get word out about the coronavirus. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You weren't telling us the truth then. You were carrying the Chinese story that it's not infectious, not dangerous, cannot be passed person to person. And that was the story you gave the world for the World Health Organization. It was the Wuhan Health Organization, it looks like. But they want to claim that, oh, we were trying to warn everybody, you just didn't listen. And, of course, President Trump has talked about cutting funding from the WHO. We are, of course, their major contributor, of course. China is now upping its amount, doubling what it gives. And here comes Joe Biden. He's right in step with the Chinese also. Joe Biden, when everybody knows that the virus came out of China and the way it's been mishandled and misreported by China, much less the World Health Organization, Joe Biden says, if elected, I will restore funding to the World Health Organization. Yes, I will. There's another reason not to vote for the guy, but I'll leave that to you. There's a piece that's appeared in the New York Post. Dr. Daniel Murphy says, I'm an emergency physician at St. Barnabas Hospital in the Bronx. See, I've been in the ER every day these last few weeks, either supervising or providing direct care. He said, I contracted COVID-19 infection early in the outbreak, as did two of my daughters. One's a nurse. He said, it's the worst health career disaster of my 30 years. But here's what he says. I've worked the front line in New York City, but it is now time to start opening up. He says, it's time to start opening up the state. That's from an emergency room doctor in the front line in New York City. We've been telling you to be aware of shortages coming. Beef, pork, poultry, vegetables. There's now a report that there's a massive amount of meat in storage lockers across the nation. But how long will it last as folks continue to eat beef or pork or chicken? And those farmers and ranchers are having to destroy their animals because they cannot afford to keep them alive, feed them, if there's not going to be a market for them. And they've had to close down some of the processing food plants, so they're not working right now. And the head of Tyson Foods took out a big ad in the New York Times, as we talked about yesterday, saying the food supply chain is breaking down. South Korea claims that the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un might have missed the birthday celebration of his grandfather April 15th because of coronavirus pandemic, not because he was ill, just that he was trying to avoid it. Now, of course, North Korea has not reported any coronavirus. They border China, but they have not had a single case of coronavirus, according to them. France, by the way, plans to lift its coronavirus lockdown. Spain also on the verge of doing it. Some big-name stars, Oprah Winfrey, Julia Roberts, former President George W. Bush, among 200 participants in a 24-hour global live event on the Internet coming up this Friday evening. They say it's titled The Call to Unite. Performances, conversations about the challenges of the pandemic. And they're saying we hope to gather the nation, come together. Participants, celebrities will answer calls in their own way. Maybe perform a song or share a story or maybe just a prayer. All right. If it helps people deal with the crisis, especially those that are lost and getting frightened, all for it. I'm all for anything we can do to help the country.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I mean, I would love if Donald would get on TV and take an injection of Clorox, and let's see if his theory works. Let him volunteer. And or hold a big rally. Say, fuck this coronavirus with all of his followers and let them all hug each other and kiss each other and have a big, big rally.
Big cocktail of disinfectant.
Yeah, and all take disinfectant and all drop dead.
Laughing, that's Howard Stern, and yes, that word got on the air because in pulling the bite, I gave directions to Quentin to pull that bite. I did not hear it in listening to it, and it's all on me. So if you want to complain, it's all on me. So we are going to try to play it again. I don't know if you can get that word cleared out before I air it again. Try to clean it up for us. So those offended, I apologize. But the remarks of Howard Stern suggesting Trump supporters drink disinfectants and drop dead. I'd love it. And then his longtime sidekick suggesting a big cocktail of disinfectant. Joking about that kind of thing. And they're building it off of a lie presented by mainstream media. Mainstream media insisting that Donald Trump was telling everyone to use that disinfectant, like Lysol or whatever, and either inject it or ingest it, as in drinking. Or snorting it, I guess. That would be one option. But they're making it up. That's not at all what he said. But they jump on it and they magnify it and amplify it to the point where the truth gets lost. Even Joe Biden jumping in. I can't believe I have to say this, but please don't drink bleach. Trump never said it. Not one time did he say drink bleach. Not one time did he say drink disinfectant. Not one time did he say you should disinfect yourself. He was talking about some of those possible studies that might have some value going down the line. But yet they want to jump in and say that he was encouraging that. So Howard Stern has fun with it.
I mean, I would love if Donald would get on TV and take an injection of Clorox, and let's see if his theory works. Let him volunteer. Or hold a big rally. Say, f*** this coronavirus, with all of his followers, and let them all hug each other and kiss each other and have a big, big rally.
Big cocktail of disinfectant.
Yeah, and all take disinfectant. And all drop dead.
Isn't it just funny? Isn't it funny? Thanks for cleaning that up, Quentin. And again, it's the mistake of the word getting on the air is my fault. No one else's. But it's built again on this lie. And yet, even though as the mainstream media was kept putting this story out there, we suddenly have a spike in poison control calls. That's right. Lysol, by the way, issued a statement last week reminding people under no circumstances should our disinfectant products be administered into the human body through injection, ingestion, or any other route. And they were having to respond because the mainstream media was suggesting that that's what Trump said, which he did not. We'll get to that in a moment. And like I said, we're seeing a spike in poison control calls in Maryland. Again, the Emergency Management Agency received over 100 calls inquiring about the, as they say, the president's suggestion. If that's what they thought he said, they weren't listening. They were listening to the mainstream media interpretation. New York City reports the Poison Control Center saw 30 cases of exposure to Lysol, bleach, and other cleaners in 18 hours after Trump's suggestion. There was no suggestion. I'm going to show you that in a moment. They claim that there were 30 people that, well, because Trump said it, I'll do it, although he didn't say it. The Illinois Poison Center said it had a 36% increase in calls statewide. Inappropriate use of disinfectants and cleansers since the president made his remarks. He didn't say that. But we're not going to let the facts get in the way of a good story, are we? I mean, because isn't it a great story for the mainstream media to rush out and say, Trump is suggesting drink bleach? You will not find any soundbite from any mainstream media unless they do really creative editing to have Trump saying drink bleach. Nor do you say drink disinfectant or inject yourself. So what did he say? This was a news conference, one of his daily news conferences at the time, where he was talking about different procedures underway that might provide some help on dealing with coronavirus. And he's standing at the podium and he's talking and he's referring to the doctors off to the side of him. Dr. Birx is one of them. And the head of the CDC was also there, just kind of musing about some of the options that he's seen and how effective they were, and thinking, is there some way to kind of take that and go the next level? Not talking about you doing it, but for the medical professionals and scientists, can you do something with this? Would it be beneficial to some way? Again, here's what Trump said specifically about the disinfectant.
Then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that? By injection inside or almost a cleaning, because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number in the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me.
That's all he's saying. It sounds interesting what they're doing, that if it can get in and you inject it and gets into the lungs, cleans it out, just layman's terminology. When you take an antibiotic, that's what it's doing. It's cleansing your blood with that disease. He said, clean out the lungs. Looks like it could be possible. And it's interesting to me. Maybe there's something to be done. And as you heard him, he was basically making it a question to the doctors. I want to play that one more time because I want to make sure you hear exactly what he says compared to what you've been hearing he said on the disinfectants.
Then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number in the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me.
And you heard It sounds interesting, and you'd have to use medical doctors. He's just saying, would it work? That's not anywhere close to go home and drink bleach. Not anywhere close to take Lysol and ingest it through your nostrils or your mouth or any other form of ingestion or injection. That same news conference, he discussed sunlight, UV rays, and they mocked him over that. They were making fun of him, saying, so all we had to do is go to the park, Mitch, and sit outside. Actually, that is a good idea. If you get bright sunlight, so we've already heard that from the experts, it can, because the virus does not survive long in direct sunlight, and maybe heat and maybe humidity play a factor. But again, the president on that day was not saying it's a cure. He's just saying, I'm seeing some of the surveys, some of the study groups and things that it just makes me wonder, is there another way to use light of some type? Here he is.
Supposing we hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light, and I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that, too. Sounds interesting.
And again, he's making his remarks while he's standing in front of the reporters. He's looking to Dr. Birx, the head of the CDC, saying, you know, you talked about that. Maybe you can do that. Maybe putting the light inside the body. And again, he got mocked. Yeah, we put lights inside of that. That'll kill it. Well, now, hold on a second, because Fox News, John Roberts was there covering that event, and I have to tell you, his report generally was siding with those saying Trump was suggesting you suck up disinfectant. But Roberts had to acknowledge this piece of fact, reference maybe the possibility of using light in some way, maybe even inside the body, the very thing you just heard Trump suggest, is it possible? And here's what John Roberts says.
There is a company in Colorado that is experimenting with a medical device. It's not yet in use in patients, which embeds one of those ventilator tubes with ultraviolet light emitting LEDs in hopes that if you got that deep in the trachea, you might be able to treat some of the virus from the inside with ultraviolet light. But again, I'm told that research is very early. It's not ready for application in a clinical setting just yet.
Not just yet, but it's being studied. Inserting light into the body through the trachea tubes for the victims to see if it would work, LED lights. Listen, we have a lot of things in science right now that even 20 years ago people would look at and say, you can't really do that, can you? Yeah, you can. I can take your own blood, pull it, separate it, put the plasma back into an injured part of your body and help you avoid surgery, and it may regrow and you won't have to have surgery. I've had that done to an ankle. I remember the first time I saw someone on a stem treatment where they hook you up and kind of give you little light shocks to kind of revitalize muscle memory and actions. I'll tell you specifically, it was a year after the Hyatt Regency disaster in Kansas City that left all those folks dead. I did a follow-up a year later, and one of the ones I interviewed was the last victim pulled alive. He had spent hours under debris, his girlfriend dead near him, his left leg stretched right out in front of him, his head bent over, almost touching his nose to his knee, and right leg right out behind him. He spent hours like that. So when they finally get him out, when I go do him an interview a year later, the doctor's giving him this stem treatment, sending this shockwave, and I'm looking at it thinking, that looks like hocus pocus. Well, since then, and I'm talking about since back in that time, it's used routinely. I've had it used on me on some injuries. But again, Trump didn't even say do it. He said, I hear there might be something that worked. Would it work? And they mocked him. And you get those like Al Gore, the Democrat Party, and Stripes coming forward. And in their view, nothing Trump says will have any veracity.
He has engaged in a kind of magical thinking. He's pushed dangerous and potentially deadly snake oil type remedies.
Whoa, deadly snake oil remedies? Oh my gosh. Did you hear any snake oil pushing that? So the only other thing he's talked about that, again, they mocked in the beginning was hydrochlorine. hydroxychloroquine, and they have since determined that it has a value. Now, there was a test that came out the other day through the VA that said, no, wasn't that effective. In fact, we lost more patients. I've got an expert in infectious disease coming up in a moment, and he has some real issues with that VA study. And he's afraid that that kind of study will have some doctors where they might be prescribing chloroquine, decide not to use it. In other words, something Trump talked about was beneficial, and you know the Democrat who went and appeared before him said, I want to thank you for making me better. Because if you had not talked about it, I wouldn't have got that shot, and within 24 hours of the shot, I'm doing very well. Or the pill, however they administered it for. But Al Gore says it's snake oil. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Al Gore, of course, who wants to claim that Trump deals in snake oil, Al Gore says COVID-19, and again, we're not going to let a crisis go to waste, COVID-19 and the world climate crisis as they want to identify it, that we need all green plan energy going forward. Al Gore says COVID-19 is tied to our climate crisis. Now you tell me who's peddling snake oil. And why would Gore make remarks like that? Money. Stand by, please.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
You ain't nothing but a hound.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So Al Gore, former vice president and would-be president if it had his way, says that Trump is peddling snake oil when he talks about hydroxychloroquine, and, of course, maybe that some science can find some way to use some kind of disinfectant or light to help deal with this virus. And you want to talk about snake oil and tying things to the virus? Al Gore says our climate change crisis is all involved and possibly leading to the virus.
This climate crisis and the COVID-19 pandemic are linked in some ways. The preconditions that raise the death rate from COVID-19, a great many of them are accentuated, made worse by the fossil fuel pollution, not the CO2, which causes the climate crisis, but the particulates, the soot. And of course, President Trump is trying to use this crisis as an opportunity to turn the valves wide open for more pollution.
Yeah. And Al Gore's trying to turn the valves wide open for more money for him and his green investments. You know, he did that movie, An Inconvenient Truth. And on top of that, he's invested in at least 14 green tech firms that he's invested in, either has received or directly benefited from more than $2.5 billion in loans, grants, and tax breaks, part of the Obama historic push to renewable energy. Gore got money, a lot of money, and he's still making money. That's why he suddenly surfaces and wants to tie the climate crisis to COVID-19. There was a study the other day, we reported it for you, and it was surprising to me. It came out of the University of Virginia School of Medicine and dealing with a study they had done in the VA and found that hydroxychloroquine as COVID-19 treatment was not doing any good. In fact, it was more dangerous. Well, Dr. Stephen Smith, an infectious disease expert, takes exception with that study.
I can't believe anyone took this seriously. There's not one dosage listed, cumulative or daily, of hydroxychloroquine or azithromycin, and people call this a study. I've never, ever seen an efficacy drug trial or study not mention the dose. Not one person in that paper saw one COVID patient. Only three of MDs, all are ophthalmology trained. I went to UVA, so I just looked up to see if they were in the ID department, like, you know, my friends are. They're in the something about the vision department. Dr. Mbati is a basic science researcher. That's fine. He's good at that. The other two MDs in that study, Dr. Prayer and I met the third MD, Narendran, they're ophthalmology trained in other countries, and they work in Dr. Mbati's lab. It's a sham. It's a shame on UVA. I sent an email to the dean of the med school at UVA. I have not heard back from him. It is an embarrassment that UVA allows this thing to be called a study.
I agree, and I don't even know that much about how you would do the study. But if not one of those in the paper had even seen a COVID patient, and if they were not justifying the measured doses given and truly a study, they just wanted to knock it down. It's not a study. It's a hatchet job to attack Donald Trump, and it might well cost people their lives if their doctor goes along with that kind of study. I've got an expert in infectious control coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection, Rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My guest is Dr. Kevin Pham, medical doctor, a contributor to the Daily Signal, and also a member of the Heritage Foundation. Welcome aboard again, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. I want to discuss COVID-19 testing and what we're doing about moving forward with hospital jobs in a moment. But before I jump to that, there are a couple reports out, one coming from a top New York City ER doctor that said, I've been on the front line. He wrote an opinion piece in his analysis that it's time to open up the country. And then there are two doctors from Bakersfield, California, who held a press conference calling for reopening the country on Google. But apparently then Google, or rather the video, got pulled down because they didn't like what they're saying. These are doctors saying we could go ahead and open. They've been on the front line. What sense are you getting?
I'm getting a lot of that. There's really two schools of thought. It's split pretty evenly and pretty polarized. There's a lot of docs who think that we should remain on lockdown until we have everything under control. And there's a lot of docs who are seeing, especially the ones who have no caseload, no patient load right now. They're the ones saying that, you know, we are prepared for this. We are ready for a resurgence, and if it comes, and we should start resuming parts of our life again, because this is not going to hold.
To that extent, I remind the audience that the idea of flattening the curve is not that we're not going to have additional cases and even infections and deaths, but we're not going to have the surge that was going to put all the strain on the nation and hospital resources, that if we were going to wait until all of them disappear, we would never reopen.
Right, exactly. If we wait for all of this to pan out, we will not reopen until this thing has spread throughout our entire population. And that would come at too high of a cost. Frankly, what we've done is in our mitigation and suppression strategies, what we've done is not just flattened the curve, I think we've also greatly reduced the size of the curve itself. So I think a lot of the infections that would have happened, we have prevented them from happening. So I think that puts us in a much better position to reopen parts of the country.
Well, a big issue, obviously, is COVID testing. How do you test those as they go back to work? Do you continue routine spot testing of if businesses are open, the employees and our customers? How do you think that has to do? And how many do you have to test? How often?
The number to test is going to vary by area, from area to area. And the way you test is going to vary from area to area. You know, in a large place with a lot of people, for instance, New York City, then you have to test a lot of people, and you have to do a large random sampling of the population to get an idea of how far the thing has gotten. And so I don't think New York City is going to be able to fully open for a long time. However, even in New York State, there are some counties that have single-digit numbers of cases, like 8 or 9 cases. In those counties, they can definitely reopen. And it's not going to, they don't necessarily need to have the heavy level of testing where you send everyone through and then get them tested and sampled. What you can do in those cases is just have point-of-care tests. These are tests that run individually, but they run in 15 minutes, and then they'll be done. And in those cases, what you do is you find these people who end up testing positive in a point-of-care setting, in like a pharmacy or a clinic. You find them, and then you find who's been around them and exposed to them, and then quarantine all those people. And if you do that, you can stop the spread of the virus cold in its tracks.
Well, what do you get from the study of 4 prisons across the U.S. prison system, and out of almost 4,000 inmates, 96% tested were asymptomatic. They had the virus, but they weren't. I guess you can be contagious, obviously, if you're asymptomatic, but they didn't have COVID-19, and either they'd been exposed or went on. And, of course, they are in close confines in a jail cell. So how much of the nation probably could be asymptomatic and not even know it at this point?
Well, I think with regards to prisons, there's a lot of confounding in there because, for one, as you mentioned, that's absolutely correct. They are in confined areas, so the spread of the virus is going to be much faster and much more thorough. But the other thing is that, you know, prison health systems are not very good. In fact, they're quite bad in some cases. And as a result, there's a lot of symptoms that may have been missed. You know, just people are at a baseline feeling miserable all the time.
But, you know, we don't see massive death counts coming out of these prisons because of it, because I'm sure someone would be sounding alarm.
Right. If we don't see that, probably because the prison population is a bit younger, and being that it's a bit younger, then the case fatality rate is much lower for a younger population.
Well, the official count on the infections, on deaths, they put it 56,000. I've heard repeatedly that coroners say you cannot verify if someone died of COVID-19 unless you give them a COVID-19 test, and we want to save those for the living. But then there's a study from the Washington Post and Yale University say there were about 15,000 excess deaths between March 1 to April 4 that were never reported.
Right, and I think excess mortality is going to be an important statistic as we move forward to get a better idea of how many people have been lost to this virus, because you know, for a lot of those people, unfortunately, it's too late to test them, obviously. But we can presume that since everything else has decreased, you know, there's much fewer, for instance, automobile accidents. Since everything else has decreased, then we can assume that a large portion of this excess mortality is as a result of the virus, the disease from the virus.
You're listening to Dr. Kevin Pham. He's with the Heritage Foundation, a medical doctor, contributor to the Daily Signal. So in this region, we have a major health provider furloughing some 20,000-plus hospital employees. We know it's happening across the nation. Where is the way forward for healthcare with all these folks being furloughed at this point?
I think at this point we can really start to open up our clinical practices again because, you know, for one, people need to get in for care. You know, nobody's diabetes has decided to stay home for the coronavirus. They still need treatment, and a lot of that can happen by telemedicine. But what you can't do by telemedicine is you can't get a physical exam, which is pretty important, especially for diabetes. You know, you need to check the sensation at the extremities. And that's just one example of heart examples and stuff like that too. But, you know, also people are concerned about the safety of patients in the clinical setting. Well, the thing is, your doctor knows a lot about how diseases are transmitted. And so clinical practices are going to take a lot of precautions and they're going to do this. And I think it's important to trust our clinicians and trust the patients to be aware of the dangers and the risks involved. So if we trust our people, I think we can do this. We can reopen at least clinical practice fairly safely.
So there's a story out of New York City, an ER doctor at a Manhattan hospital who had gotten COVID-19, fought through it, then tried to return to work, and then got sent home again. And she's only 49 years old, and she commits suicide. That a lot of folks are saying the onslaught of the coronavirus and on the front line, those dealing with this, especially in an epicenter like Manhattan and New York area, that the toll it's taking on health professionals as they try to deal with it and they feel restrained, handicapped, or just inadequate at that point. What have you been hearing about that, on the stress on the medical personnel that are trying to deal with it across the nation?
I'm hearing that a lot of docs are exhausted. They are tired to the bone. They are not getting a lot of rest, and what rest they do get is fitful rest, because they know that there's a whole ward of people who are barely alive, stuck on a ventilator. And this is, of course, in New York City, mostly, and in any other hot spots in the country, but it's not the reality in most hospital systems. Most doctors in the country are not being overwhelmed right now, but for those who are, you know, they're in this. And they're not necessarily feeling a lot of the support from the hospital systems and from the government. I think that's been changing lately now that we're able to get our supply chains online. But before they weren't necessarily getting all the support that they needed. What they did feel, however, was a very strong sense of purpose. You know, they had a real sense that they were the ones who were preventing New York City from devolving into total chaos. And so they did get that sense of purpose. And the problem is this doctor, unfortunately, she contracted the virus herself, and then so she had to self-isolate. And so she just went through this highly traumatic experience that did give her purpose, and then all of a sudden you prevented her from fulfilling her purpose that she found for herself. And then she was, you know, waiting for 2 weeks in this area that's removed from what she really wanted to do. And then so this was this is a very similar experience to our servicemen and women who go to war.
Yeah, just fight, you want to ask, have a strong PTSD, sense of purpose. Yeah, kind of PTSD
exactly.
Type thing. Yeah.
It is exactly the same thing.
To that extent, what about the American public in general? I mean, some are still, you know, kind of, you know, so-so, I'll get back when I get back, and others feel isolated, and maybe they've already been kind of alone and didn't really have a lot of friends or folks around them anyway, and now they feel like they're confined more. I mean, what about the impact upon the mental health of Americans in general, and especially the younger?
Right. Especially for the younger people, our children, they are used to having, a lot of play interactions. That's really important for the development. So this has been really traumatic for our children, too. It's taken away stuff like Disneyland, going to the movies, playing outside with your friends, even playing basketball. This virus has taken all of that away from our children. So they're really left inside to be, you know, with their parents and to be with their video games. That's not healthy. Sure that you can get some socialization across the internet, but it's not quite the same. Humans are meant to be social creatures. We desire community and, frankly, physical touch in many cases.
And so to that extent,
we just can't have that right now.
And we'll see that unfold as we go forward. Dr. Pham, as always, we appreciate you joining us and sharing some of your wisdom and insight with us, sir.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me back.
You bet. We'll do it again. Dr. Kevin Pham, medical doctor, contributor to the Daily Signal with the Heritage Foundation. Coming up, did you know the L.A. Lakers got a small business loan? Some of you small businesses who were cut out of that first line, you didn't get your money? The Lakers did. And how the media is carrying the water for China in this nation. And the Chinese love it. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I'll scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the Paycheck Protection Program, as it rolled out in the beginning, $2.5 billion, $250 billion, and quickly got sucked up. A lot of small businesses got left with nothing, so they're lining up for the next rollout. But one group that did get in from the Paycheck Protection Program, and keep in mind, this is money in forgiven loans from the federal government as long as a loan is used for either payroll, mortgage, interest, or rent. If you use it for that, you can take it and you don't have to pay it back. The L.A. Lakers took $4.6 million of that money. $4.6 million. The same franchise as Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and now LeBron James. They had to have that money to make payment for these guys. The Lakers, according to Forbes, are valued at $4.4 billion. Behind only the New York Knicks is the most valuable NBA franchise. The Lakers spokesman, when they were questioned about it, said, well, we qualified for it, so we got the loan. The rules were any small business concern that meets SBA size standards. Any business, nonprofit, veterans organization, so forth, so on, with the greater of 500 employees or that meets the industry standard of more than 500. Any business with the code that begins with various food services, so forth, so on. Sole proprietors, independent contractors, self-employed persons. Ooh, I should have filed. I missed my opportunity. I'll try it again. I could use some of that $4 billion. But the Lakers filed and they got it. Well, when it became public, our bad. We didn't mean to do that. You applied for it. Don't give me that you didn't mean to do it. You were going to take it and be happy with it and not say word one. No whisper. But now it's been exposed, and now the L.A. Lakers, they say, here, we're going to give it all back. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said, I never expected in a million years that the Lakers, which I'm a big fan of the team, but I'm not a big fan of the fact that they took a $4.6 million loan. I think it's outrageous. I'm glad they returned it. They applied for that money, and they knew right then that they were taking out a true small business hands. Now, we already talked about Ruth's Chris and Shake Shack doing the same and others. They're either returning or say they'll pay it back as a loan. I say don't make it as a loan payback. Give it back right now because it's needed now for other businesses. And in this country, we have right now the leftist mainstream media looking for any way it can to attack Trump, as we were talking earlier in the hour about continuing to peddle the lie that Trump said drink bleach, which he did not. You go to the podcast of this program earlier in the hour, if you missed it, and you'll hear exactly what Trump said. He came nowhere near drinking bleach or injecting yourself with disinfectant. Not one word like that. But the mainstream media peddles a story, and then you get other talk show hosts and others that like to jump on it and take advantage of it and spin the tail and have some fun with it, such as Howard Stern, as we were talking about earlier. Here's Howard.
I mean, I would love if Donald would get on TV and take an injection of Clorox, and let's see if his theory works. Let him volunteer. Or hold a big rally. Say, f*** this coronavirus with all of his followers and let them all hug each other and kiss each other and have a big, big rally.
Big cocktail of disinfectant.
Yeah, and all take disinfectant. And all drop dead.
All drop dead. Trump supporters. Now, let me get this straight. The folks who have been calling these poison control hotlines, as we were saying earlier in the show, how poison control centers are saying they're seeing bigger spike out of New York and Illinois, blue states. The people that are doing that, would they be Trump supporters or against Trump? The Trump supporters are not going to be doing something like that because they're smarter than that. What you would have is those who are looking to do Trump in and do it and see if it would work or work to their advantage to bash Trump. That's my opinion. But we do know this. The mainstream media in this country is sold out. Has been since the night he won. Actually, prior to that time. And then you've got Howard Stern mocking that all the Trump supporters should go ahead and drink some disinfectant and just die. Now, he's got probably bigger numbers than Trevor Noah of The Daily Show, the one that used to be hosted by Jon Stewart. Trevor Noah, on his program, has bashing Trump repeatedly. Repeatedly making mocking remarks, attacking him, and so forth. Now, of course, they get the laughs in the audience and for his viewers. But you know who's the bigger audience for him. Chinese state-controlled media outlets have been taking the Trevor Noah's jokes about Trump and playing them for China audiences. He is a big hit in China. In fact, his nightly TV audience in the U.S. is far smaller than the other late-night host here, but in communist China, he rules the roost, apparently. The New York Times reporting that. That his numbers are really big in China. Would that not tell you as to whose side he's on, and is he helping America or hurting America? It tells me. And I know that it tells you the same. You know, I had someone the other day say, you know, I listen to your program and I hear you say something and it appears somewhere else another day or two later. You always seem to be ahead. That's what we try to do. Stay ahead of the curve for you. That's why we have a massive program every weekday for you. We come to the end of this one. It'll be up on a podcast at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.